a major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity. Columbus. History. The future. The new era. The new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live to Awesome Town, Ohio.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of news and information
for your Awesome Town crew.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the post-playoff round one edition of the Massive Report. My name is Matt Goschert. I am joined by John Zidar, who is just screwing up all over the place as producer. Thank you so much, John. We really appreciate you being here tonight. Sam Fahmy had to take the night off because he had to pick up his parents at the bus station. Greg Benson is here. That's a true story. Greg Benson is here. Morgan Hughes is here, fresh off of the... Skyfly thing. What do you call those
planes, Matt?
Planes. Oh, plane from
Ohio.
It's Montreal.
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. And wine drunk Alex Stanek is here.
I'm not drunk.
You're very wine drunk. I just want everybody to know Alex drank a bottle of wine before the podcast because
it was at the bar and it was free. That's all we know.
I need to make this clear. It was a little tiny bottle of wine, and I'm not drunk.
Yeah, no, it was a very large bottle of wine for you. And
is a little tiny person not a person, Alex?
Yeah, wow.
Then you drank a bottle of wine.
Why are you such a bigot, Alex?
Yeah, really? Come on.
I'm just trying to add context.
That's it. You're just here so you don't get fined?
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So welcome to the show this evening. We are, as always, brought to you by Landgrab Brewing Company. Thank you so much to them for sponsoring the show. By the way, one thing I do want to just really quickly put out there, Landgrab Brewing Company in negotiations for 2016.
Oh,
but if you are interested in being a supplemental sponsor for the podcast, two ways you can do it. Either A, email me. At mattgoschert@gmail.com, or the other way that you can do it is just show up at the bar with a large stack of $1 bills and make it rain during a podcast. Those are the two ways. Landgrant picked the second option last year, and it was pretty fantastic. So
it was quite sexy.
Two different ways that you can sponsor the show. But thanks again to Landgrant for being such an awesome sponsor this year. Talking about the playoffs, though, Morgan, I want to go straight into you. You were at the game.
That's a fact.
The crew drop a result 2-1. Give me your hot takes, Morgan. Go for it.
First of all, Matt, extremely excited to be here. Couldn't be happier to be here to talk about some Columbus Quest basketball. Matt, back to you. I'm still going?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry about
that. Dying of fire, Morgan.
Columbus Cruisers, while you were busy not walking into traffic, and all of America was upset about that outcome, Columbus Cruisers went to Montreal and lost, Matt. And that I saw it, so it's real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the drug
thing. Why are you on the show?
Insert mother joke here. So
we're going to talk about the Drogba thing later.
Am I not allowed to talk about it yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay, go to hell. It's so hard to like have a hot take from a game that you were at, you know? Like until you have a chance to watch the game. So for me...
Do they not have Wi-Fi on planes in Canada?
No, that's not a thing.
Okay.
For me, I assume that we won and very happy with the result. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Greg, you watched the game.
I did actually watch the game.
Not in person, which
not
should
person.
Give you a more accurate viewing of the game, but apparently...
Not in person.
Morgan was too high on poutine to pay attention to... did you go to La Banquise, by the way?
Don't know what that is, and probably not.
The poutine place that I texted you about
did
like
you go to
four
Saint,
times.
St. Vator Bagels,
no,
which
I think,
texted you about?
No, no, you all sent me messages which were ignored.
Yeah.
Same level of intensity. I think
Morgan ate every meal at Tim Hortons the entire time.
Well,
that's
actually pretty close to being true. it was a carryout, and I think that carryout in French was 7-11, but I don't speak French, so it could have been two other numbers.
It was,
but I think Clem
and 7-11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that great.
No, that's,
God,
no,
damn
that's
it,
actually
Craig.
French for. Yeah.
Yeah. Montreal's much. Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a nice town. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Greg, your thoughts on the game?
I think we got incredibly lucky to come away with only a 2-1 deficit heading into the second leg. I don't think the Crew played particularly well in most phases of the game. But with that said, I think Montreal did their homework. They shut down the Crew in several key areas, particularly on the wings, which has been kind of their bread and butter all year. Getting the stink eye, I don't know why.
Elliot's just making, I don't know. Go away, Elliot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not on the show. Your brother's on the show. Go away.
We're off to a roaring start.
Keep talking,
Greg. I think the wing play that has served Columbus so well this year was pretty much neutralized. We were talking off the air about the kind of games that Ethan Finley and Justin Merrim had. They were virtually invisible for the bulk of the match. And we've talked about we talked in the build-up, and even the guys on FS1 on the telecast talked about it, that Montreal's strength was, especially against Columbus, was the way that they beat us all year, which was the counter. And as it turned out, a Michael Parker slip leads to a fast break going the other way, and that proves to be the difference in the game.
Slip or aggressive foul?
Yeah, that one I'll leave open to interpretation. I'm not going to hog the mic too much.
And an unmarked set piece goal.
There was that.
Not unmarked, poorly defended.
It wasn't great.
Legitimate question, though. I mean, when we're defending corner kicks, do we do that as a zone defense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Zonal marking.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's man marking and zonal marking. Those are the two kind of...
Yeah, but do we...
It looks to be always zonal.
We legitimately do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the 9th goal given up by the Crew this season off a set piece.
Oh, my God.
For what it's worth.
And that was supposed to be... Because you look at it and you see Kai originally, quote-unquote, marking Bernier, was it?
Yeah, it's Patrice Bernier.
Yeah, and then I guess he crosses into what was allegedly Saro's zone.
And Saro didn't know he was there.
Yeah.
But he's like 700 feet tall.
It was Kai's man. Kai should have followed him. He didn't. He got in front of Kai, and Saro tried to jump but couldn't because he was... carrying another zone, and that's what happens.
That corner kick was the first corner kick the Montreal had was on our end of the field, and I was watching, acutely aware of where Drogba was, and I looked down there and Merrim was marking him, and I'm like, oh sweet Jesus, this literally is not going to end well. I don't know. Is that don't we have to try something else because we've been so crappy defending on set pieces like that with that zone defense?
Yeah.
Come on, Phil Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think. I think our defense was poor. I think that a lot of our transition play was poor.
It's probably not the time to go, hey, we're going to scrap our whole defensive strategy.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. Try to learn something
else. If we would have lost 4-0, I might have had a different tone there. But I thought... Higuain had some moments of brilliance, but then at the same time also just looked like it was his ball. And then when he finally decided to give it away, it was not going.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
To anyone.
Isn't the question, the great conundrum of Crew soccer this season is when a team effectively takes away our wing play, which is our whole strategy is get the ball up the wings, send across in the Kai, Bob's your uncle. When that is taken away by, a high press or whatever, bunkering, what happens? And I think, I assume the answer to that is more penetration down the middle and attack in that capacity. And when you're talking about that philosophy, obviously it's a Federico Higuain / Justin Merrim, I guess, some sort of, create chances, take guys on 1v1, try to get more defenders committed to you, and then cross it to Kai. But is that not what the whole conundrum of that game was?
Yeah. It's what to do in these situations.
Asking as a fan, I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Alex, I want your Just give me your hot take.
I think a lot of my hot takes were taken by other people. I thought our wing play was terrible. Ethan Finley, I thought, was incredibly disappointing. He had 21 touches the entire game. That's pathetic. He has to do better. He has to get more involved in the game. If we have any chance of beating Montreal in the home leg, he has to be much more involved in the play. They shut down the wings, and then we tried to play through the middle. Unfortunately, Montreal have Marco Donadel. They have Patrice Bernier. They have Ignacio Piatti. They have a great midfield. And trying to go through the middle, and they have Laurent Simon in center back, who's very, very good. Trying to go through the middle against those guys, if you don't have anybody pulling them apart, is not going to work. And we had Merrim cutting in. Finley was invisible the entire game.
More invisible than Kai?
I don't blame Kai so much for being invisible because he had no service. He had basically no chance to do anything. To put this in perspective, the number of key passes that we had in the game, I believe we had 3. We might have had 4. Donadel and Oduro by themselves had 4. I think we had 4 total.
Yeah.
So Montreal had 2 guys who were playing as much of an attacking role on our team as our entire team put together. That's completely unacceptable.
And one of them was Dom.
Yeah, one of them was Dom.
And it's worth noting that Higuain's goal, which, by the way, wasn't just one of his moments of brilliance. It was his only moment of brilliance. He had an awful game.
Other than that, he was ineffective.
Yeah, very ineffective.
What a great clearance by Drogba, though, right?
Yeah, it was a nice
assist. That's what it was.
It
didn't come off of any kind of midfield service or anything like that. It was a completely miscued clearance that fell to the right guy at the right time. And if he doesn't score that, this game is out of hand, I think. Well, I mean, first of all, it's a crucial away goal going into the second leg, obviously. But it's the only bright spot from this game for me.
This game hinged on 3 defensive errors. We had the first one coming from Didier Drogba, who I think what he was trying to do is he was torn between trying to head it back to his goalkeeper or head it out of bounds. And I think he was originally going to head it to the keeper and then at the last second was like, no, I better just head this out. And when he did that, it went somewhere in the middle and fell to Higuain. That's the only thing I can think of. He's pretty good with his head, so I don't think that he was, you know, just mishit it. Maybe he did. But we had that, and then we had 2. We had Kai Kamara completely losing his man on the coverage on that corner kick.
Yep.
And Michael Parkhurst, I don't even know what that was. But let me talk a minute about this Parkhurst one, because when you go back earlier in the season, Emmanuel Pogatetz got benched, and he was asked about why he was benched, basically, by a journalist. I can't remember who it was, but he basically said that in the system that we play, a lot of the times the center backs get pulled so far apart that they're basically on islands, and they're completely separated from each other.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened on this play.
Yeah.
Parkhurst loses the ball, and there was no one who could have caught up.
Yep.
And so it was a two on one, basically, a two on nobody, basically. And I'm surprised that they didn't just play that across to Drogba and have him tap it in. It was a goal either way, but I mean, Montreal set out in this game to exploit the system that we play. They knew what the system we were going to play was.
Yeah.
It's the same every single week. There are certain flaws in it. If you're a good team, you can exploit those flaws if you play well. They played really well. The only player who didn't play well for them really was Didier Drogba.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fair result.
Yeah, that handball goal.
We deserve to win. I thought that was a clean goal. I thought that was ball to hand.
What?
I thought that was fair. It was ball to hand. He didn't try to
You can call it both ways. You can look at it both ways, and I get where you're coming from. However, if you're the ref in that situation,
let's put it this way.
It's difficult to not call that back.
Let's put it this way. If the shoe was on the other foot and that was Kai Kamara instead of Didier Drogba, I don't think Crew fans would be saying, "Yeah, that's definitely a goal that gets called back."
Well,
I think a lot
wrong.
Of us.
No, I'd be.
I think it was fair.
No, it would.
Boone's Farm's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, no, it's taking that to the next point. There, I would be maybe upset in the moment, but at the same time, with it being that.
That it literally got knocked into the goal with someone's arm.
Yeah, it would be difficult for me to actually get upset about it getting called back. It would be very difficult for that. It's I get that ball to hand and handball are two different things.
As a basketball player, I sometimes have to ask questions about soccering because it's a pretty foreign concept. But you cannot use your arms. Is that right? If you're not the goalkeeper,
you can do a flip like a cartwheel.
Okay.
And then kick it in with your feet. Okay. And then your arms are still part of the play.
Okay.
As I understand it, the MLS rule requires there to be intent. And we went over this when there was the whole issue with Michael Parkhurst on the goal line handball.
Intent is such, and I get that it's part of the laws of the game because it's not just an MLS rule. But intent is such a bullshit thing to try to judge.
It is a judgment call.
It is, and it is. So a lot of this to me, and I thought we were going to talk about this later, but we can talk about it now.
No, we're not talking about the other thing Drogba did.
Okay.
We will talk about this thing Drogba did, but the second segment's going to have a bit of,
So
the man of a thousand.
Just hold on for
what
one
is
more
it, a thousand
segment.
And, that's called three moves, son.
That's called a teaser.
The man of a thousand and four moves.
So when I first saw,
go ahead. Hold, sorry.
I apologize for Matt on that if you're listening to this podcast. When I first saw it, I thought that it was a handball and it was rightfully called back. But the more I thought about it, he's kind of trying to get over Clark. And when you're trying to get over, having your arms out a little bit is still a natural position.
But look at what you just said. Look at what you just said. When you initially saw it.
Yes.
You thought it was a handball.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I'm not a professional referee.
When the referee initially saw it, what did he call it?
Handball.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it was match fixing or something. It should have been a good goal.
If it was match fixing, it would have counted.
It should have been a good goal.
Here's the thing about this. We talked last week after the DC game about the save that Steve Clark made when it was 1-0 Columbus and how much that changes the game if that ball goes in. This game is 0-0 when Drogba scores or doesn't score, depending on your interpretation of the rules. If that winds up being the only goal of the game and decides the first leg of the tie, Crew fans are apoplectic right now. They're completely beside themselves saying, they scored off of a handball, and it was because it was Drogba and yada yada.
Have you checked Twitter recently? Because we're pretty apoplectic anyway.
Because
of what we're going to talk about in a later segment.
Well, no,
I have been on social media
it's
recently.
It's just a yellow card, guys. That's my tease.
Jesus Christ.
Apoplectic. Informal adjective overcome with anger.
This is why you're wine indignant. Drunk, Alex.
That's
because
Thank you, Morgan.
It's a radio
you're welcome.
But thank no, you. I'm just saying it's I could have seen it go both ways, but I agree with you, Alex, to the thing that supports my thought on it is that the referee saw what he saw. And he called what he called, and
I agree.
Semantics. Who cares?
I just think I think it was a clean goal.
Oh, and that's fine. You're allowed to do that. You just have to stand in the corner.
But I still appreciate Chris Pento, Ohio legend, for helping us out once again. Thanks, Chris. Love you, buddy.
We're gonna take a break, guys. We're gonna come back and talk a little bit more about this game against Montreal before we get into the Drogba thing and the rest of the playoffs, because that's something we should probably talk about as well. We'll be back in just a minute. This, my friends, is the Massive Report.
Edition of the Massive Report podcast is brought to you, as always, by Land Grant Brewing Company. Land Grant Brewing Company is a local business located 424 West Town Street, Greg, and is run by a wonderful team of humans who come together each and every day to produce delicious, intoxicating alcohol, which is then served to you, Greg, the paying customer, in medium-sized glass containers which are filled to the brim. Hooray! But generic announcer guy, you say? I don't like medium-sized glass containers which are filled to the brim with delicious, intoxicating alcohol from Land Grant Brewing Company because I'm from Montreal. I don't speak English, and I have no idea what you are saying. Well, Sacre Bleu, you unidentified, flappy-headed Montreal soccer supporter.
Delicious intoxicating alcohol is, without question, the one true global language. And you'd be doing yourself a great disservice if you didn't put down the baguette and pick up a frosty mug of liquid freedom from Land Grant Brewing Company. And also hold on to that liquid freedom like a son of a bitch for dear life, like you just side-tackled it from behind. So while all you French-speaking hockey players with your first initials on your t-shirts are busy trying to end the careers of Columbus Crew goalkeepers, the rest of you cool cats can head on down to Land Grant Brewing Company to grab a cold one and enjoy your shockingly still intact ACLs. And don't forget to tell them your buddies, pals, and guys over at the Massive Report Podcast Center.
We're back at this segment number two of the Massive Report. As Morgan so eloquently put it, we are brought to you tonight by Land Grant Brewing Company. I want to talk about this just coming across the wire right now from Ben Free of Columbus Wired and U Weekly. Breaking: MLS spokesperson has confirmed no further action will be taken on Drogba regarding Drogba leg lock. We were going to talk about this tonight and just be a little, you know, weird about it and have some fun with it, but it's kind of weird. So basically, I don't know what's being handed to me right now. Why are you handing me water? I don't want any water. But anyway, yeah, I want the beer. Anyway, so fantastic last night radio during the Crew game, Didier Drogba slid tackled.
I love slid tackles.
Slid tackled.
Everything is past tense.
Everything is slid tackled.
Sorry, everything was past tense.
Yes. Past slide tense. Tackled.
Slid tackling is my favorite part of soccer.
Slid tackling. I don't know. I can't talk.
So aggressively.
Aggressively slide tackled. Mr. Steve Clark. And then did not want to leave. Yep. That's really the only thing that I can. He really missed Steve and did not want Steve to leave, and pretty much put his ACL and basically everything else in danger at that point by being like a weird cub nursing her mother. I'm not 100% sure where to go with this, but
when's
what I'm
the last
saying
time you
is
went to a zoo, Matt?
I don't know anything about anything, Morgan. But
could have guessed that.
Yeah, it was kind of a bullcrap play. My personal opinion, it's worth two yellows. The infraction and then the infraction after the infraction. He got a yellow on it. Most people that I've seen online, most people that I've seen talking about it, other than some people from MLS whose job it is to be dickbags to everybody, other than that, thought that it probably was a bit more harsh than a yellow. But I want to get the panel's opinion, first of all, before we really kind of delve into this. And I'm going to start with Mr. Stanek.
It was a yellow. Really? It's not a red card. This is the playoffs. You're going to give a guy a yellow card because he's holding Steve Clark by the ankle. I don't care. This is if Kai Kamara had done that to Bush, I would have been like, that's a yellow, move on, it was stupid, it was weird.
But if Kai Kamara did it to Bush, they would have would have given a red card.
They absolutely would.
No. They would have.
No.
They would have, and you know they would have.
I don't think so. I disagree. I know you guys
are
all
so wine drunk tonight.
You guys are all giving me these looks. It was a yellow card.
I'm giving you these looks because I know, because I've watched this league enough to know.
I think he gets a yellow for grabbing the ankle, not for anything else, personally.
Which is
not
absurd.
Not for the late slide tackle?
No.
Because the initial foul is the most. I mean, obviously most of the conversation
is
going to be
more egregious,
on,
but yeah, the meme comes from.
Right.
Yeah, the meme comes from the.
And we're basing this on social media reaction. And of course, like, the social media reaction is going to be, you know, like, let's
Crew
edit
fans
him into a bunch of pictures of holding on to things. But the. The most
literally
intense
it's not Crew
thing
fans. The majority are Chelsea fans, and
the most
know
intense part
yeah
of
it's
this
people who watch the game.
Is Drogba?
That's the only thing that they have in common. It's not a Crew fan going
Drogba going to ground when Steve Clark is already in the motion of kicking the ball, right?
Yep.
He has no legitimate play on this. He has one thing clearly in mind, and it's to take out Steve Clark. And he did that.
Yeah.
And say, oh, you can say, oh, well, he stepped on his leg when he was standing up. Well, yeah, because he was awkwardly tackled. And you can't just stand up in a normal capacity when you've been awkwardly tackled from behind. So did his leg make contact with Steve Clark's cleat? Yes, because he was awkwardly tackled from behind. Then the leg grab happens. That initial thing is red card worthy in and of itself.
Yep.
That was his intent, was to take out a player when they were planted.
What
on
was
one
his?
Front.
What was his? Because we've been talking about intent, Alex. What was his intent there?
His intent was to wind up Steve Clark.
Yeah,
yeah.
To wind him up.
Wind up is a nice way of saying to
wind up like a pretzel.
He didn't injure him.
To injure his intent.
Irrelevant.
His intent was to get under his skin, get in his head.
Yeah. This is not.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'd be arrested.
This is not a court of law. This is not attempted murder versus murder. We're talking
about 10-yard penalty given
him
the
business. When you do this from behind on someone, it's a red cardable offense. Just that. Then the subsequent leg holding, it is completely absurd. Like literally, we cannot break down this foul because he just like grabbed hold of a goalkeeper and literally would not let him go. There's no soccer hot takes on this. It is what happened. That alone is yellow card. Just alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The slide tackle from behind is red. So now we're talking three yellow cards, Alex. Back to you.
Alex, so my question is, if the slide tackle didn't happen, you're saying the slide tackle is a yellow card?
I look at the play as a whole, and I don't see everything that transpired in that 10-second period of time warranting a red card. I don't.
Okay,
I think you give a yellow card, say, hey, don't do that again. And you move on, and you let the game
If I give
go.
You a reckless, if I slide tackle you, and it's reckless, it's probably a yellow card, right?
Would you have given Gaston Saro a second yellow for getting in the face of whoever it was?
No,
did he
don't
punch
get dragged
him?
Into this. We're not talking about that. We're talking
did he
about
punch
just
him?
The foul.
I don't think.
No, stop talking about it. It's not that same.
No, no,
thing.
No, no. That's what I'm saying. Is here's the problem? Is that if you slide tackle me, and it's reckless?
Yeah.
Yes, you deserve a red card, or excuse me, a yellow card. If you then turn around and punch me, you also do that.
Let me just say this.
That's probably, I
said this in the last segment, and I'll repeat myself. I think that Chris Pensa was very kind to us in this game. I think that he could have really hurt us.
Also not what we're talking about.
And so I think when you look at the game as a whole and you want
to... But we're not. We're talking about this specific
foul.
I don't think
it was a red card.
See,
this
is... When people get in conversations about...
I'm an Italian soccer fan. This is like a normal week.
No, you're
not
wrong,
but that
Alex,
entire league
asshole.
Is rigged by gambling people.
It's a wonderful
league,
man.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful
league. There's literally no reason to watch Italian soccer, Alex.
Honestly, let's do ourselves a favor right now.
Go walk
okay.
into traffic.
I know that when we're doing hot takes, we have a propensity to say, like, oh, let's compare it to this thing, let's compare it to that. Let's just talk about what literally happened.
Yes.
Don't compare it to Gaston Saro.
Okay.
The fact that What's-His-Nuts is from Beaver Creek holds no relevance here. Okay?
I agree.
Also, Beaver Creek is a horrible place.
Slide tackling a person from behind, right? When they are in completely kicking the ball, meaning that they are planted on one leg and one leg only, is that a yellow card or a red card?
Your
intent is to not
stop
the
ball. I think it's a half yellow card because I think the other
Jesus.
One is a half
Jesus
yellow card.
Christ. Oh,
I look at the whole play together and I say, is that a...
Don't look at the whole
when
play.
You
you're
blow,
why
you,
I drink, Alex.
You blow your whistle after all of that has transpired and you are either going to reach for a yellow card or you are going to reach for a red card. And I reach for the yellow card, and I say, hey, Didier, I don't want to send you off, just like I don't want to send off Gaston Saro or any of these other guys. But don't do that again, or I'm going to have to.
Well, you'd be a shitty referee, because that's the dumb thing
to do. I would be.
I honestly, in seriousness, though, I don't think that Penso saw that initial slide tackle very well.
No, I don't think he did either.
Am I wrong?
No, he was watching the ball.
Yeah, that he was carding the leg lock.
Honestly, one of his assistants. Yeah, he was carding the leg lock, and the problem is that one of his ARs should have seen it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there should have been a conversation. And the fact that we're hearing very early reports, nothing is coming out from MLS at this point. We don't want to be wrong tomorrow morning. I mean, I actually like to be wrong tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
it'd be great. I mean, yeah, it'd be fantastic. But we're hearing that they're not going to, you know, they're not going to, there's going to be no supplementary discipline.
Absurd.
On this.
You know who's been really silent on this?
No.
Greg Benson.
Yeah, Greg.
I wasn't silent last night on social media, that's for darn sure.
What's your Twitter handle? Twitter handle, because nobody on this podcast knows.
You can find me on Twitter as Gregulator614.
Okay, there we go.
Well, anyway.
Shut up. Okay, continue.
Sorry, jumping ahead.
Yeah.
No, this in retrospect, this is why the disciplinary committee exists as a thing, so that they can go back, look at what the referee
literally,
and
yes,
his ARs might have missed, and retroactively award a red card or rescind a red card,
sure,
if it's been erroneously awarded.
Drogba's
got to be
it's
suspended.
Right,
I'm sorry.
It's
yes,
a good process.
Right. When done right,
well, yeah,
it works.
I mean, you need to have
yeah,
this.
It is.
You need to have this review in a leak.
I don't want to be this guy, but I'm going to be that guy anyway.
Yeah, I know.
It is so hard to look at this in a different light than last year's performance against Jermaine Jones in the playoffs, first round, same thing.
This is way worse.
It's definitely worse, but it's hard not to view this as exactly the same thing. It's hard not to look at this as star treatment.
Yeah.
From MLS.
I don't think there's any.
I don't want to be the conspiracy theory
right
guy.
I don't think there's any conspiracy theory. I just don't think they're very good at their job.
I don't think they are either.
And you know what? It doesn't help when they just suspended what's his name from DC? Bobby Bosworth.
Does the hair treatment.
The guy from the 80s played for the Bears.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, they suspended him and they had footage of it and they didn't release it. I'm not saying they should have. I'm not saying they have to. I don't know what their rules are. But it creates a dynamic where you can go, even if you're wrong, what are they trying to hide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that this is they're trying to hide anything. I'm not even saying that Drogba is getting special treatment because of his name. I'm just saying it opens the conversation to what the hell are they trying to hide?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
what would it be if it was someone else?
The problem is, and this is what my big concern is that MLS, and more so than any other league in this country, has people on their payroll that literally do nothing but stir the pot. Literally do nothing but troll people on social media who have a differing opinion than whatever, or have the majority opinion. I mean, with this, the things that I looked up, it was very much the majority opinion that he should have been sent off. Accurate or not.
Even if it's not.
Accurate or not, that was just the majority opinion. The problem is that MLS legitimately, and Matthew Doyle is one of them. Friend of the show, Simon Borg, is one of them. And I'm not saying that their employment is wrong or right. But what I'm saying is that you have people who are legitimately, they work for the league, and their entire job is to stir social media conversation about things like this.
And let's be serious.
Major League Baseball doesn't have this.
If this happens
to another
team.
Major League Baseball is boring. Back to you.
Major League Baseball has way more people watching the World Series and the MLB playoffs.
I think that's why they don't have anybody stirring it, because they already have a social media presence. I think these guys serve a purpose. I think the conversation serves a purpose. It gets people paying attention. It creates a narrative. This whole Drogba thing is going to be a narrative for the second.
No, it is. It's a conversation to have.
Right. You're right. Not every league has.
I'm not saying fire these guys.
No,
I'm just saying it
not
exists, and this is
and it's unique. And we're not saying that this is a conspiracy to screw the Columbus crew. No, that's not what this is. I love MLS. We
you're
all love
totally
MLS.
You're
go to
saying
hell,
this.
Matt, walking
you're
in traffic
saying this, Morgan.
But you know, if this happens to another team, I'm. Honestly, if we're being real with each other, I'm probably laughing. I'm like, yeah, they're just, yeah, get him, Matthew Doyle, get him from your armchair, dickbag, get him. I'm calling him bad names too at that point. So
yeah,
but it's just like I said yesterday on Twitter, I know everybody follows me at Gregulator614, so I'm not even going to put that out there. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth when you're a paying customer, and I know I'm getting really preachy on this, and I apologize, but you're a paying customer, and you put your heart and your soul into this thing, and then you see them mocking it,
yeah,
and making it a page view thing, and going like, here are the best memes from your goalkeeper getting slide tackled from behind, and then grabbed onto. Like,
and that's the point I was trying to make there,
yeah,
is that it's just...
It leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
It's... If Steve Clark actually gets injured via this, they still do it.
Yeah.
They just quit.
I don't know.
No, they just quit as soon as they realized that, somebody
that
got injured.
He actually got hurt.
But
yeah.
It's like I said in the Landgrand thing, like, shockingly, you're still intact ACL. Like, it was a really lucky thing that nothing happened to Steve Clark.
Yeah, because bear in mind, he not only grabs onto his leg, he rolls over.
Yeah.
Yeah. To keep him in the leg lock. That's the part that is potentially season-ending, career-ending, whatever.
I also had no idea that he was training with Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
If you're going to reference wrestling, make it from the 80s and 90s, Matt. God.
90s,
actually,
Chris Jericho
was 90s.
Oh, then how come I don't know who he is?
Because you're a horrible
Science.
Person. Okay. Yeah. Hang on, we're gonna have Molly come on the podcast
for three seconds
and rattle off 90 people that use the damn leg lock.
Oh, God, no, please, no. I'm
sorry.
Is,
by the way,
right.
Everybody on the WWE roster. Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, hon. Go eat some more Taste of Orient, please. All right, we're going to take a break here, guys. I think we've finished on this.
I could talk about it forever. I'm sure Alex has 100 reasons.
Alex,
why
I just want to say. Alex, you get the last take.
Okay.
Go ahead, the last hot take.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think that if Marco Donadel had done the exact same thing, and he's not a big name, I think it also would have been a yellow card. For me, it was reckless, and reckless challenges deserve yellow cards in playoff games. You want the game to finish 11-11. Chris Penso ensured that was the case, and thank you for the handball. Much appreciated, buddy, and it's all good here in Columbus.
Honestly,
from your friend Alex.
Alex is not the last take here. This happens a lot in basketball where they go, well, the refs are going to put their whistles away in the last couple minutes because they don't want the game to be decided by free throws.
Yeah.
Which is inherently bullshit because you got to that point in the game based on calling fouls, hitting free throws. Why is it not called the same way?
Well, you also get to the point in the season
in April,
the same way,
right?
Yeah.
If that's a red card in April, it's a red card in November.
Yep.
Actually, I'm going to get the last take here before.
Oh, how
the,
dare
the break.
You, Greg?
Yeah, you're not allowed to. You're foreign.
At Spicy Roma Crew on Twitter, New York City FC has just fired Jason Kreis, by the way. And
that's Christ. Next segment. Thanks,
no,
Greg.
Pardon. That's whatever. We know by the time anybody who listens to this is listening.
Yeah.
Anyway. NYCFC says, coach, you're fired. Pack it up. Kreis says, you got to be pulling my leg. NYC says, nope, that's Drogba's thing.
Hi-yo.
Hey-o. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Greg's going to yell at some people. Then we're going to talk about Jason Kreis. We're also going to talk about the rest of the playoffs. And we're coming back in a minute. This is the Massive Report.
Yeah, I was wrong. Well done, All Blacks. Duncan, I owe you a beer. Episode 60 of Cards Against Insanity, sponsored this week by hashtag Drogba Leg Lock, which if you haven't seen it yet, you need to. It's bloody hilarious. I love the internet sometimes, but only sometimes. Opinions are mine and don't necessarily reflect those of the Massive Report or Columbus Crew SC. And Lord of mercy, it's another round of Cards Against Insanity that features cards dedicated completely to soccer stories. Second time in a month, aren't you lucky people? Yellow card to Jermaine Jones, the soon-to-be former New England Revolution man, if his posts on social media are anything to be believed. In the closing stages of his side's 2-1 flame out at the hands of DC United on Wednesday, Jones manhandled referee Mark Geiger and saw red for it, making his exit exactly like that of Zinedine Zidane, except for the whole winning stuff. And in Jones' post-match boilerplate apology to Geiger, to MLS, and to his fans, he also added, quote, special thanks to the Orlando coach for support too, end quote. What Jones was referring to was a post by the account at Not Inchy, who tweeted a clip of Orlando City coach Adrian Heath being ejected from the sidelines during an earlier season loss to the Red Bulls and the caption, hey, at Jermaine Jr., I know how it feels. In case you hadn't connected the dots yet, that definitely was not the official account of Orlando City coach Adrian Heath. It's a parody. Even says so in the description. Jones later deleted the tweet and posted a follow-up, quote, LOL, yes, I know that's not the real Orlando coach. End quote. A few seconds on Google led me to discover there's also a parody of Mark Geiger. If only he'd shoved him. Which leads right into the next one. Yellow card to Turkish club Trabzonspor. They drew 2-2 with Gaziantepspor over the weekend. I think I got that right. And were so incensed at referee Kagetay Sahan's decision not to give them a late penalty that they locked Sahan and his assistants in the changing rooms for 4 hours after the match had finished. The truly messed up part is that the order to lock up the refs came from Trabzonspor's club president, and they were only released at 3 a.m. when a call came in from the president of Turkey. Turkish authorities are now investigating the matter, and Sahan himself can now say that having been trapped in a locker room, he has seen a grown man naked, he has been in a Turkish prison, and if they'd left a copy of Gladiator in there, he could have completed the trifecta. Speaking of completing the trifecta, it's three referee-related cards in a row. Yellow card to Lucas Notbeck of German 4th Division side Viktoria Köln. They bowed out of the German Cup on Wednesday at the hands of Bayer Leverkusen, and in doing so gave up a goal in, well, fourth-tier fashion. During the run of play, Notbeck noticed that the referee had dropped his red card nearby, so he tried to do the right thing and return it. But in doing so, he lived up to his name because in his efforts to track down the ref, he was Notbeck in position when Leverkusen striker Stefan Kiesling brought the ball into the area and scored virtually untouched. Wait for the whistle, man. Not that it really made a difference in the scheme of things. Leverkusen won 6-0, but referees misplacing their red cards is apparently a serious thing now. It's the only excuse Chris Penzo has left. Green card to Tottenham Academy player Zenon Stylianidis. The 17-year-old was named in the Spurs under-21 side for a game against Chelsea on Friday. But as he arrived at the stadium, he received a text from his mother informing him that his sister Deb, who had been battling blood cancer, was close to death. A lot of weight on the shoulders of someone so young about to play an important game, but in a display of strength and maturity well beyond his years, Stylianidis not only decided to play, but he called his sister and left her a goodbye message right before he took the field. He played the full 90 minutes and helped Spurs to a 3-1 win, but learned afterward that Deb had indeed passed away during the match. He dedicated the victory to his sister's memory in a Twitter post later that day, and it suddenly got very dusty here at Hendox. Yellow card to the Barcelona players, who took the Halloween festivities a little too far after their 2-0 win over recent MR Cards debutants Getafe. The club had to issue an apology after a video was released showing several costumed and masked players crashing a press conference with Getafe winger Victor Rodriguez. Barcelona's statement in part read, quote, "In no case was it our intention to offend and or hurt any member of Getafe's team. Our emergence in the post-game interview area during Victor Rodriguez's press conference was an unfortunate and involuntary accident. We would like to personally apologize to him, as well as to express our respect for him," end quote. Rodriguez, for his part, said he had no idea the people in masks and gaudy costumes were Barcelona players. He just thought he'd stumbled into the fetish section of the Getafinder app. And finally, red card to Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, who last week blocked a non-binding resolution on the Senate floor that would have called on FIFA to pay women players the same as men, particularly regarding participation in tournaments such as the World Cup. The U.S. women's national team were awarded $2 million by FIFA after their victory in the World Cup final back in July. By contrast, Germany were awarded $35 million for winning the Men's World Cup last year, and the U.S. men's team, who either flamed out or overachieved by reaching the round of 16, depending on who you believe, made $9 million, 4.5 times what the women did for winning the whole damn thing. So when the resolution was put forward on the Senate floor, that simply would have sent the message that the Senate believes in making equal pay across the genders a priority, Senator Alexander, a Republican, surprise, denied the unanimous vote it needed to pass, saying, quote, "We have a budget to pass, we have a debt crisis to fix, we have an education system that needs reform. That's what the United States Senate ought to be spending time on rather than offering opinions and resolutions about a private international entity and how they should award prizes," end quote. For what it's worth, in the last 6 months, Senator Alexander has put forward and passed resolutions designated June 20 as American Eagle Day, October 30 is a day of remembrance for nuclear weapon program workers, and commemorating October 22nd as the 50th anniversary of the enactment of the Highway Beautification Act of 1965. He doesn't mind wasting time. I don't spend my days glued to C-SPAN because I have a job, but I'm willing to bet none of these things Senator Alexander spent time passing this year would have taken much less time than the 2 minutes or so it would have taken to send a message that our elected officials are actually interested in promoting equal pay for women, particularly when these efforts are spearheaded by a group of role models for young women such as the U.S. national team. And I say that with the disclaimer that, yes, I'm well aware of Hope Solo's issues, but to find reasons to demean the overall achievements of the national team is to ignore the real issue. Nor am I saying that all things are equal when it comes to the revenue generated by the Women's World Cup compared to the men's. Going off TV sponsorship deals alone, Fox made $17 million off advertisers during the women's tournament this year compared to the $529 million ESPN made last year during the men's tournament. The Men's World Cup is undoubtedly bigger in terms of prestige and the revenue that prestige brings. Nobody's saying it's not. But FIFA would go a long way towards making the women's game more than just a sideshow, looking at you, Mr. Dressed Them in Bike Shorts, Sepp Blatter. If that pay gap was significantly closed, at least to the point where teams don't need to take up fundraisers to send a team to the Cup like this was still 1950, which is exactly where Senator Alexander seems to be stuck with his statement that he had more important things to do than spend 2 minutes sending a message that these badass athletes, to quote our president, don't get anywhere near the compensation and the recognition that they have surely earned. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as Gregulator614, and if you're at Hendock's Pub, you're in my seat. A reminder once again to use the hashtag MRCards if you've got something I should be including on next week's show. Until then, play on, but remember, I'm watching you.
And we're back. It is segment number 3 of the Massive Report. We are brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Alex is just furiously shaking his head no at this point.
Turn around.
I don't want to. Yeah, no, I don't engage those people. They just
turn around. No, it's over.
Oh my god! All right, so let's talk MLS Cup playoffs. First of all, DC United drops a result to the Red Bulls by a score of 1-0. Greg, your thoughts?
The better team won.
Yeah.
It was an otherwise completely uninteresting game. Heck of a goal. The service for the header by McCarty was pretty top stuff. I mean, yeah. Red Bulls looked like they deserved to win. And they've got the upper hand going back home.
Morgan, DC United without a shot on target. Unbelievably awesome. We had a game against Chicago a couple years ago where we didn't have a shot on frame.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's the depths of the crappiest team in the league during the regular season. There's no way it can get worse than that. To do it as a playoff team in the second round at home?
It's pretty damn awful.
They're horrible people, Matt, and they deserve everything bad that happens to them back to you.
Alex?
I don't have anything to say about the game. I just want to mention that one of the journalists who was at the game posted a video of the New York Red Bulls fans on the other side of RFK Stadium jumping, and then the TV on their side of the stadium shaking, and it's literally on the other side of the stadium, and I am convinced that RFK Stadium is going to kill somebody in the next handful of years.
Speaking of RFK
like,
Stadium,
I think that there could actually be like fatalities in that team.
RFK is falling down.
It's a scary place.
Yeah. Speaking of a long-running joke that we've had at the expense of RFK Stadium, one of the New York Red Bulls fans was holding up a giant cutout of a raccoon.
Yes,
and it was the funniest darn thing I'd seen in a long time.
It's not even safe. It's not safe for raccoons either. They need it's, to
no. They need
somebody
to get
needs
the
to
raccoons
call PETA.
Out. Yeah, and then get the people out.
That's
yeah.
very. True.
I wanted. Yeah. I want to be the guy working at FedEx when that guy turns up. It's like, so yeah, I need this.
So we need to FedEx a bunch of raccoons out.
Somebody said it on Twitter. I can't remember who, or I'd give them due credit.
On the bright side, you know, when they do demolish RFK Stadium, the amount of money they're going to save on demolition is going to be so much. I mean, it's going to be about $20 of fireworks just, like, shoved
up
against one of the...
Yeah, will they even need any sort of accelerant?
No, they just... You just blow on it.
They're like, you know that part that's, like, super crappy?
Go to Walmart.
Just kick it.
Yeah, go to Walmart on July 5th, and you'll be able to get half off everything you need to bring that sucker down.
RFK was disassembled using sparklers.
One of those golf carts that they have parked out front, just back it gently into the building, like into the structure, and to just wait.
All right, second game. We talk about Portland and Vancouver, a 0-0 draw.
Oh. It was really boring.
Yeah. Not even worth talking about. So can we talk about how Portland got there?
No, can we talk about Portland's TIFO? Because this was fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So Portland
start
did
this and work backwards.
Portland did a TIFO for one of their players. And it was awesome. And I can't remember what it said, but it basically said, like, somebody is gonna get you guys. And then that player was not actually in the starting lineup for the match. And so they hastily got a bed sheet and spray-painted next week on it and put it next to the TIFO.
Oh, awesome.
It was really,
that's
really
great.
Awesome. Yeah, it was fantastic.
That's really,
good
that's,
on you, Timbers
really
Army.
Great.
Hey, good job.
Yeah.
All right, last game we have to talk about that wasn't our game. Seattle beats Dallas 2-1.
Ugh. I mean, Dallas is
they're literally in the same position now that the Bruisers are. So.
And Dallas comes back home.
Yeah.
And they're clearly a better team than Seattle. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Clearly?
Yeah.
That's a word, Matt.
Top of the West.
Words have meanings.
Yeah, top of the West. They're a better team.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, I want to go back to this TIFO real quick. It was the power of Kowarski stops you hosers, and the next to it said next week. Which is great. I think Dallas is the better team. I think that they will turn it around in the second leg.
I think they will too. It's
I don't.
It's worth mentioning that since we did a podcast last, there were also two play-in games.
There were.
False.
Do we care? There were actually four playing games.
I mean, I care about
games.
Talking.
There are four playing games, Greg.
I'm sorry, my bad.
New England's two misery is something we should cover.
New England's done. Jermaine Jones seems to be done at New England.
Oh, my
God. Yeah,
I touched on in cards. Portland, Kansas City. Can we please talk about that shootout?
Jesus Christ.
Can we please talk about that penalty shootout? Because it was the most insane thing I've watched.
Everybody shot.
That was...
Every single person, and it came down to the goalies. We had the two poster thing,
the double post was awesome.
The double post. That's FIFA stuff. That doesn't happen in real life. And I know we talk about MLS on a we don't like these guys on an organizational level. I just like watching good soccer, and that was just one of the most entertaining. I'm so glad I didn't have a dog in the fight. I do not want Columbus Montreal to come down to anything close to it.
That's a good point. Like. MLS followed up an outrageously entertaining decision day with an outrageously entertaining Wednesday and Thursday night.
Yeah, for the people who could watch the games.
They killed it.
Yeah.
Well, sure, if you had...
I mean, Unimass streamed it for free.
Yeah. It was on the internet for free.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And you got it to choose two different languages, and I was watching it on my iPad, and it was fantastic. Thank you, Unimass.
Were you watching it in Spanish because you're a hipster?
No, I was watching
it
in
Spanish
English.
Because the English
they were pretty bad.
It was pretty awful, yeah.
Behind,
it was pretty awful.
Or ahead, though.
I watched it in Spanish because I don't know who else has – I mean, I have Dish, and apparently you couldn't get the high-definition broadcast and English.
Correct.
It was one or the other.
But I would say that –
You either got high definition with Spanish commentary or standard definition with English, and it was just weird.
I think
I watched it in Spanish.
English,
like a dirty hipster.
English speaking announcers on Unimass are my least favorite announcers in sports because they force
it's because they have to do the goal
yes.
thing. Yeah,
yes.
that's
yeah,
it's a sponsorship thing, and it's kind of weird.
It's out of place in English.
Yeah, it is. Doesn't make any sense.
SAP is as bizarre as MLS. It's the only thing that can kind of match the game in terms of like its ridiculous, over-the-top Americanness. And so that's why I like it, because it makes me feel balanced. It just
makes you feel like you're watching an MLS match.
It does. I'm like, this is the way it should be. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
But let's be serious, though. I mean, like, you're not watching television to get the play-by-play. It's not radio. You know, I like watching it in Spanish because... You know, I'm watching the game anyway. If I could have the sound effects of the actual game without commentary, I would choose that.
Yeah.
But the Spanish thing, it's like, I don't know what the hell he's saying, but he seems to be excited, and that excites me, Matt.
Yeah, there are maybe three or four commentators in the world who I would actually listen to.
Do we want to
in
do
a
we,
different language?
Like, do we want to?
Ian
really...
Dark is one. Martin Tyler is another. Andres Cantor is another.
Yeah.
And maybe JP Delacamera if I'm drunk.
Do we want to laugh at Toronto?
Or
rest
do we want
to no.
Toronto's playoff hopes
can
2015
be,
to 2015?
Can I be totally honest? So I follow a number of people who are TFC fans. And
why?
I actually they're Italian soccer fans at crossover.
Yeah,
anyway,
I'm gonna throw up.
I actually felt
he follows Giovinco is what he's saying.
I hate Giovinco, but that's another he's Juventus, so people are going to tweet at me and say, why are you talking about Italian soccer? I'm sorry.
Not as sorry as we are, Alex. Back to you.
Yeah, exactly. but I actually felt bad for them towards the end of that game. This was supposed to be their year. And they're going to
blow it. It was their year.
They're going to blow it up and start over again. That's the thing. They're going to sack Greg Vanney. He's gone.
Oh, for sure.
And they are going to replace a ton of players. Probably not Giovinco. But if you're...
Alex, what if I told you in the universe of Toronto FC... football that like literally this was their year.
Yeah.
When you're talking like, okay, our year is, it's not necessarily winning a championship. It's being the best your franchise has ever been and will ever be.
Yeah, they're not gonna. But they're not gonna get rid of the coaching staff.
But that's not their attitude. Literally, my entire TFC timeline was they raised ticket prices so that we could watch our rivals beat the shit out of us
on the road
for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And they were depressed after that game.
Good.
I had one person who DM'd me and said, "This is the worst night of my life." And that is all they said. And I replied, I was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Are you okay? Like, do I need to call your other friends in Toronto that I know and have them check on you? Because
well, that's because
you
Toronto
don't, like, you don't want anyone to
Canada
hurt themselves.
Canada does Nepalese.
He's one of the TFC like ultras who lit the flares and got in trouble.
Those adults
almost
yeah.
got in trouble.
Those adults. Almost. Yeah,
he's one of Canada's red knights, right?
Yeah,
he's.
It was funny.
Part of the inebriati.
So to like anytime you do like a Nora on tour, you have to have a conference call with their front office, and I was on that conference call on Friday with Montreal's front office, and they're like, "Yeah, so we're gonna like you know have you guys like wait around outside, and we're gonna bring you in, and then we'll wait 15 minutes, you know, standard stuff like
yeah.
so people don't kill you." And the ticket guy hadn't got on the call yet, and I was like, I really want Jeremy to jump on the call just to make sure that, you know, we're going to have enough people to, like, necessitate an entire rack of security guards. And so he jumped on, and I'm like, "Hey, Jeremy, can you check the link and see how many crew fans are going? Because I'm going to guess 5.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, I'll just go ahead and look that up right now. Oh, actually, it is exactly 5. And I could tell that they were super, really worried after the Toronto game because, like, you know, there was drama, whatever. And I was like, "So there's 5 of us. That probably means 3 of us will show up. Can we just abandon security altogether?" And to their credit, they were like, "Yes, absolutely. This is absurd. You guys enjoy your time. Have a good day."
Yeah.
Yeah. So they thought we were going to be Toronto.
Impact fans are great. If you've ever been to Stade Saputo, if you have not been to Stade Saputo, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I recommend it. Dude. Yeah.
Their fans
yeah.
are fantastic.
They're nice people.
They're totally cool. Nobody gives you anything. You will get looks, but that's because you're an American. That's not because you're a crew fan.
No. When we went in the summer, we drank with their supporters groups.
Yes, we did.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
Oh, they were so welcoming. It was funny.
Yeah.
I meant to say this when we were talking about Drogba. It happened on the opposite end of the field from us, and I didn't see the leg lock until I got back to my hotel room because we saw the tackle from behind, which was a red card, Alex. And
it was a yellow card, Morgan.
And I hate you. And John Clem went outside of his body. He lost his goddamn mind. He was screaming so loud.
As
so,
is tradition.
Yeah. But
hashtag as is tradition.
Like, Clem saw what happened, and that's why he was losing his shit. And, he started screaming, and I immediately became like, "John, can we – they're going to arrest us. Like, you're being the loudest, most aggressive person in Canada right now. They're going to – it's bad for us as crew fans. It's a black eye for the organization." So I had no idea that the leg lock happened because Clem was so absurdly loud.
That's hilarious.
I thought it was Steve Abreu. I was like, this can't be John Clem. He's not capable of it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No, Steve Abreu is capable of it, too. He just won't do it.
Steve Abreu will only do it if they show the new Crew SC badge on the big screen.
Yeah, that's also true.
Oh, how dare you.
All right, we're going to do
just
one,
joking, Steve.
We're gonna
don't
do one
me.
More thing
we
here real quick because, you know, why not? And we got started late and stuff happened. So let's talk about Sunday.
The day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord.
What else about it?
Morgan, I know you're planning on going to church early, but then I hope you get done with church late enough to go to the match.
Oh, the Cruisers game.
Crew play Montreal at 5, as is tradition.
That's the best of the – it was
7:30 or 10:30.
5 is best case scenario for us for a lot of reasons.
I think it is 5.
Yeah, no, 5. Yeah, it's 5 o'clock, yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
I have confirmed that via looking at my phone for 10 seconds.
Cool. I also have used that scientific method, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's 7:30 and 10. Excuse me.
Right.
So
we weren't going to get the 10 game. That's obviously going to be Seattle, Dallas.
It's actually Vancouver, Portland.
That's what I said, Vancouver, Portland.
Yeah, yeah. It's the people that are playing in the Pacific time zone
get
the game.
I said one team that's from the left.
Yeah, no, but they're playing in Dallas. So the Western games we knew...
5 o'clock is good for attendance.
Yeah.
It's the best time.
The game's already
for
almost sold out.
Yeah. It's going to be a dry day, not alcohol-wise, rain-wise match.
Rain-wise, yes. Yeah. Yes, of course. Of course, as you know, as you do.
Listen, I mean, we're to the point now where it's 2-1 coming back to Crew Stadium, and we literally just have to go in there thinking let's win.
Yeah,
I know that there are winning score lines, obviously, that will result in Montreal moving on.
Just look at Nate Beckman's
right.
Look at Nate Beckman's feed.
Flick did a really good one.
Yeah,
but yeah, we just, dude, if we're a good enough team to play in the Eastern Conference Finals, then we'll win.
Yeah.
If not, it's not. We're not overcoming some 4-2, you know, home game disaster like last year.
Yeah.
This is just, guys, go out. If you're good enough, we're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Just win the damn
game.
Chicago. Yeah. All right. Alex.
Possibly not Chicago.
If the Ethan Finley from the DC game shows up, we're going to advance. If the Ethan Finley from the Montreal game shows up, we're so done.
All right.
The wing play that we had.
The wing play in general, Alex is right.
Yeah. We have to figure out a way to free that up.
Yeah. For me, Federico Higuain has to be better. He's basically the talisman of the attack. He's the guy that pretty much all traffic goes through. He tried to do too much last Sunday, and we need him to distribute rather than try and put the entire game on his back, because he's got enough good players around him that Columbus can win this well enough to advance.
I think in championship seasons or seasons that you look back on and you go, this is a banner moment, there are specific instances during that year, like we talked about with the New England game in late 08 and the subsequent comparison to the DC game earlier this month. Or what month is it? Late last month. Yep. Anyway, this to me seems like I mean, I'm an eternal optimist when it comes to the Cruisers, but this seems like a thing where it's going to be a full stadium. We know exactly what we have to do. We're a good team, and good teams respond in scenarios that the objective is clear.
True story.
You know, the same way we did against DC. You know, we had to win to get second place. We had to. Greg and I talk about Portland a lot. Mm-hmm. Portland had to win on the road in the late season, and they did it. Their backs were against the wall. If we're a good team and we're going to win something this year, and we're not, you know, of course, backing the CCL, you know, aside, it feels like it's going to happen. I'm jacked up.
All right. Last take, Alex, and then we're going to take it to score predictions.
I think this game is going to be much more difficult than the game that we had in Montreal. I think the Impact know that all they need is one counterattack goal. I think they are going to sit even deeper than they sat before. I think they're going to give us as much possession as we want, and they're going to bunker down, and then they're going to hit us in the counterattack with Oduro's pace. I think this is a very, very dangerous game. A single mistake from any of our defenders, and we're done. A single mistake from anybody, and we're done. This is a very, very tough game, and I'm glad we have close to a sellout. If you don't have your tickets now, by the way, pause this podcast right now and go online and get them, because they will be gone within 24 hours of the time
also,
we're recording.
Also, you can't use your card. You have to print your tickets out. Like, we need to blast that from the rooftops in Columbus this week.
Well, it's a good thing we did it at the very end of the podcast.
Everyone's listening right now, Matt. How dare you? Back to you, Greg.
I think we have a shot at this, but we need to get behind this team like we haven't got behind this team all season. We need to be in the stadium early. We need to be making as much noise as humanly possible. These guys need to be amped up, and our wing play needs to work. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to disagree with Greg and say Federico Higuain needs to put the team on his back. He needs to have a Guillermo moment. He needs to carry this team through, and he needs to create magic where there's nothing. Because I think Kai Kamara is going to have two guys on him basically all the time. I think our wingers are going to be really struggling for the space that they usually feed off of. It's going to be really, really tough. But, you know, we have a great squad. We have a squad that's really united. They are like a family. And I think they're going to pull together and act like one, and hopefully we can get the win.
All right. Last thing we're going to do, Alex, I'm going to start with you. Score prediction.
I think it's going to be 2-1. I think we're going to go to extra time. And I think the Crew are going to get a goal in extra time, and it's not going to go to penalties.
All right. Morgan.
God damn it. Defensive, ridiculous crap for 89-plus minutes. Late, dramatic, going towards the Nordic. Series-winning,
header off of a Higuain corner kick scored by Gaston Sorrow. 1-0 Columbus Cruisers FC advanced to the Eastern Conference.
I like that. Greg, I like that.
Yep.
You took both of my first two predictions in my head.
Yes.
I think it stays 2-1 until the very last, and I think Columbus gets the series winner in regulation because my poor old heart cannot handle extra time. Please don't do this to me, guys.
No.
Please.
Mostly we have to win just because all of us in this room right now, including Molly, Elliot, Katie, and John, like, we will die if something dramatic happens and we don't advance.
Yeah, it's fine because my prediction is 3-1 to the crew.
I'm 36 years old. I'm out of shape, and I drink a lot. My heart will give out.
All right, guys. I'm going to throw it out there.
You just can't pace yourself, you guys. You just got to let it loose, man. All right.
We're going to put this one to bed for everybody on the show tonight. For Greg, Morgan, Alex, John, who still I don't think knows what he's doing, but he is wearing a flat brim hat, and that creeps me out a lot.
Respect.
For Elliot, who just creepily hovered around us the entire time. For Katie and Molly, who did their best to distract me during the entire show. My name is Matt Goshard. This, my friends, has been another edition of the Massive Report. Kind words do not cost much, yet they accomplish much.